If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
All right, welcome in Busted Open Nation here on a Saturday. This is Busted Open Radio. I'm your host, Ryan McKittle, and that is Mark Henry. And Mark, boy, do we got a podcast lined up for the listeners today.
Man, what a unbelievable show today from the 35-plus minute start with Roman Reigns and your glorious one, Bobby Roode.
Got that. That kicked off SmackDown last night. And we also, Mark Henry, got a potential future into the look of what lies ahead for Daniel Bryan. Is another Yes Movement on the menu? Well, one thing we do know for sure that is on the menu, we got a new title in WWE land, Bray Wyatt debuting the Fiend title. What'd you think, Mark Henry?
I thought it was an interesting and unbelievable deal. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Daniel Bryan is going to look like after being drugged to hell and all his hair being pulled out.
A return of the American Dragon, a bald Daniel Bryan, what lies ahead. Also, Mark Henry, we're going to go over our weekly winner as we award the best pro wrestling show of the week in the universe. And Mark, I got to be honest, there might be some surprises in there for the listeners.
There's going to be some big surprises because, like I said in this podcast version of this show, you will see the closest race of the weekly winners that we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, one hell of a week in pro wrestling. And, of course, we are also going to get to Starrcade happening this weekend and the KO, the Kevin Owens show, featuring Ric Flair. What? And, of course, we are going to continue the conversation surrounding Bayley and this heel turn. How's it going? How's it looking? And how much longer can the WWE roll with it? All of that and plenty more here on a Busted Open Saturday edition. I'm Ryan. That's Mark. Let's get it going. For fans of Daniel Bryan, if you love the hairy beast, if you love the wild hippie, if you love that beard and luscious locks, well, Mark Henry, we might be seeing a new look, Daniel Bryan. To go, we had new Daniel Bryan all last year, right? The new attitude, the green Daniel Bryan. Well, now we might be having the baby face, like truly the face of a baby. Daniel Bryan, what do you think?
Well, bald how much, as a baby's butt.
What's he losing, Mark Henry? Is he losing the top or the beard? Where do you think he's going first?
You know what, man? I'm hoping that it's the hair and we keep the beard.
Okay.
But if it's both, it's going to be awfully weird because we haven't seen Daniel Bryan's face in a long, 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 long time. Long
almost
time.
Almost forgot what it looks like.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't remember either.
I know, right?
I have to pull him up on the internet and see what he looks like. He
Google American Dragon. See what pops up.
2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
The American Dragon, Daniel Bryan.
You know what? It will look different, but Mark, that's the point. I mean, it has been. People have forgotten what Daniel Bryan looks like without a beard. It's now been 6-7 years. It feels like something like that going back to his. I mean, that loss at WrestleMania against Sheamus, I feel like he still had a beard on. No, maybe not. I don't know. But again, that's kind of where we're at is it feels like on some level it's time for a change, Mark Henry, especially if this is going to kickstart this continuing feud, with the Fiend Bray Wyatt. It would lend itself to having a new look, a new motivation, a new attitude to go along with this push for the title.
You know what, man? I'm hoping that Daniel Bryan is able to do his best to not become a Bray Wyatt disciple. He's too dominant a personality to fall under the spell of Bray Wyatt. I think that, you know, the damage that he sets in, pulling all his hair out and dragging him into the depths of hell is kind of like what Miz was trying to say. Is like, we don't want to lose you. And usually when you start lobbying not to have something happen in wrestling, it happens in wrestling. But I don't want that. As a fan, I don't want to see Bray Wyatt manipulate Daniel Bryan, because he said it before, early in the show. You remember what happened. He remembers. And he referred to the Fiend remembering that Daniel Bryan ruined what was going on with the Wyatt family.
Right. He was the catalyst.
So now we got to go back to that story. And I don't know if I necessarily want to do that. I'd rather see Daniel Bryan be very pissed and lose his mind. And now you have the Joker one, and now you have the new Joker attacking each other. Two crazy, deranged, strange thought processing human beings. And not even, you know, you can get so far gone that people don't even look at you as being human anymore. Look at the Fiend. We describe the Fiend as it, a thing, a different personality, a crazy person.
Sure.
And I think that if you can create that with Daniel Bryan, and you have these two behemoths clash, that's money. Because now the Fiend can hit Daniel Bryan all he wants, and it's not going to hurt. Not the way that it did before, where he was conscious about his pain. And I remember about 5 years ago, there was a case in Dallas, Texas. This guy had lost his job. It's like an old blues song. He lost his job.
Dog died.
His mother passed.
Right.
Dog ran away.
Right.
Got divorced. And he snapped. He just completely and utter snapped. He wasn't on drugs.
Sure.
He had no prior history of mental illness. And he was driving, and he just stopped his car in the middle of I-35 North Freeway in Dallas. The cops came. They pulled the guy out of the car. Well, they tried to pull the guy out of the car. This is about a 300-pound guy. They try to pull him out. He won't get out. Finally, he decides, you know what? You want me out? I'm going to get out. And he started power walking toward these four officers. It's two cars full of guys. And they're like, hey, man, you need to stop and get on the ground. You make me. And he's walking towards them, and they all pull their tasers out. He gets hit with three tasers, and they are pumping it, and he is still power walking. The pain does not register on this human being. And they shot him. They didn't shoot him and kill him.
That's good.
But they shot him in the legs twice. He had to get shot in the legs twice to go down to a knee.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, can you imagine, man, having to deal with that? And that's what we're dealing with Bray Wyatt and the Fiend. What if we get two of those? Now we have Daniel Bryan. Like, these guys are going to have a Hell in a Cell match. Something scaffolding. They're going to have to fall from real far. They're going to have to get hit with a truck in the back. A forklift is going to have to hold them down again. And, you know, just all kind of stuff like that. So we'll get the bells and whistles with a match with two really, really crazy people.
Well, I like that you set that up in the sense that maybe this is building towards a truly new Daniel Bryan, right? We saw, okay, I get it, the new Daniel Bryan last year. I get that. But what I'm saying in regards to this is right now, you said it, right, Mark? They're teasing this idea from The Miz on one side. Hey, man, we need you. We want you here. Like, we need you. We need you as a part of SmackDown. You're one of our leaders. You know, kind of maybe a little bit of a wink, wink, and a nod, nod to the Yes movement. That's what we saw, right? Daniel's been teasing the Yes movement. He's like, maybe I lost it. Maybe you guys brought it back. Well, it's kind of like what you said in regards to if they're talking about it and they're teasing it, chances are they might run with it or do the opposite. Point being, Mark Henry, as I'm looking at this feud that's developing and the fact that Daniel Bryan is teasing the Yes movement, I don't think we're going to see that. And more specifically, I'm hoping we don't see that. And that's what I referenced before we went to break, is Daniel Bryan chasing the hug, right? That would be so outside the norm of what I've come to expect from WWE in this sense. Listen, I know Daniel Bryan works. Like, you can go to the Yes movement, you're going to sell t-shirts, and you're going to be successful. But you've been doing that now for years. And Daniel Bryan is such a talent and such a generational talent that he doesn't need to go back to old gimmicks. He doesn't need to rehash the Yes movement. So, Mark Henry, it feels like to me that, yes, they're teasing the potential return of the Yes movement, but I don't want to see it, and I don't think that's where it's headed. What do you think?
No, I don't think. I think the Yes movement is far gone now. What they're going to do now is create another entity that has lost it, that balances. I mean, crazy, the only thing that you can combat crazy with is crazy. I don't see you trying to rationalize and, you know, I'm crazy people are strong too. I don't know if you ever seen any of these cop videos. They're like, hey man, break out the straitjacket.
Right.
It takes six
guys. Hit him with six tasers.
Oh my gosh, man. It's like, that's what I see when I see Bray Wyatt. Yeah. You curb stomp him. You hit him with the high knee. You drop kick him off the top. You drop an elbow, a twisting plancha to the floor and hit his head on the ground. And he just jumps up. Hey, what happened? Where are we? Wait a minute. Are you my daddy? Like, just crazy stuff. So, you know what, man? Let's go with the crazy. I don't want to see a dumbed out, blinded disciple. Not a Daniel Bryan.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Mark, coming up in about 24 hours, we got Starrcade, another incarnation of Starrcade. Now, obviously, the return of Starrcade and what they've been doing, at least recently, is doing it. Now, it's like a two-hour show. But we, the fans watching on the WWE Network, we're only getting an hour. Before we get to the lineup and what we're expecting and what we're excited about, I guess, is this the right move from the WWE just to have this brand and this event that I know so many of us, you know, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, so much looked forward to in Starrcade? And I mean, I guess what I'm saying, Mark Henry, is in terms of like getting the most juice out of the squeeze, I feel like an hour, I don't know, it just feels like a little too little, especially for an event like Starrcade. Am I wrong?
But you know what? I think the event is more geared towards the live audience.
The live, yeah.
Like, this
that makes
sense. This is an event that, you want the people that are in the audience to, this is Starrcade on the network is like backstage. You get 1 hour to recap, and they only show like abbreviated matches on that show. Like, you're going to get an hour of Rusev and Bobby Lashley and the Kabuki Warriors versus Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair versus Sasha and Bayley versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in a Fatal 4-Way Women's Tag Match. And then you got Kevin Owens' show with the Hall of Famer Ric Flair. And that stuff will all be televised, but it'll be abbreviated versions. The things that's going to be showed in its entirety is the Kevin Owens, Ric Flair, the Women's Tag, and Rusev and Bobby. Everything else. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on this show that Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin are going to be there. Seth Rollins and Eric Rowan are going to be on there. Shinsuke and Sami Zayn versus The Miz in a handicap match. The New Day versus The Revival. Randy Orton versus Ricochet. And Aleister Black, Andrade, Zelina Vega, and the Street Profits. Like, I mean, it's going to be a great, great show for the live fan, for the people that are in the audience. But for the people that watch it on the network, they're only going to get 1 hour. They're going to get a snippets version of it.
Yeah, and I feel like, as we talk about the 1 hour that's going to be televised, and you mentioned, obviously, Rusev versus Lashley, then you got the Kabuki Warriors versus Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, and also Sasha Banks and Bayley, and also Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, a Fatal 4-Way, as you mentioned. Mark, all due respect to that Fatal 4-Way with the women and Rusev and Lashley, which is obviously a continuing story that we've been following. I'm really most interested in what feels like the main event to me is that we're getting one of the best of this generation on a microphone in Kevin Owens versus the greatest on a microphone in Ric Flair. I'm really interested to see just where this goes, because we're kind of in the midst right now of a character shift for Kevin Owens, and I would imagine on some level Ric Flair is going to continue to push that character in the direction that I think many of this is going.
Well, Ric Flair is going to be Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is a guy that can hold his own with anybody, and he can even go so far and be so crass as to tell Ric Flair, in your time, you were the hybrid, and there weren't a lot of hybrids for you to battle with. You battled with big guys or guys that were beneath you.
That's a great point.
Now, in this modern era of wrestling, a Ric Flair versus Brock Lesnar, a Ric Flair versus Randy Orton, a Ric Flair versus Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, he'd have a 20 guys that he could work with his style and look good and look the way that he looked against those guys. So, you know, that's kind of like the philosophy in every sport. There's always an evolving process with the future. Guys, there are more guys that saw Ric Flair and wanted to be Ric Flair, just like Ric Flair saw Buddy Rogers and all the guys that came before him that made him who he is.
Sure.
So, knowing the history of our business, what will be the guys like in the next 20 years? Like, you know, we'll be old guys and we'll be watching and we'll be like, man, that guy's no Seth Rollins. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll be the old man on the porch.
And, where's the Bray Wyatt of this generation?
Yeah, where's the Bray Wyatt?
Why isn't anyone talking about the lizard people, Mark Henry? Because some important stuff that needs to be talked about. It's new generation.
We need to investigate these lizard people. I'm gonna put a little elbow grease and midnight oil into these lizard people.
Next week I'm gonna have
a lot of information about the lizard people.
Hey, maybe in 30 years, though, Mark Henry, the lizard people will have exposed themselves, and it won't be a taboo subject, and it won't even be a storyline. It'll just be what is.
Hey, if they expose themselves, they're gonna get in a lot of trouble. You know, you can't just walk around exposing yourself.
Why do we have tailbones, Mark Henry? That's the only question I want to know. All right, going back to Starrcade real quick before we go to break. You know, with these one-hour specials, I don't know how much the stories get continued. I don't know how much pushing actually happens. I imagine we'll get a little bit. But my question to you is, will we see a title change? Because we just saw the return of Alexa Bliss on Friday night. I would imagine you want to create some mystique and some mystery in the fact that, hey, I know it's a one-hour show, but, hey, you want to tune in because things can happen. You talk about that Fatal 4-Way with all those various women competing for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Obviously, this being held by the Kabuki Warriors, but you look at the talent that's in that matchup. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Mark Henry, could you see a title change happening in 24 hours?
I think we can see a title change. You know, this would be a good place for it. You're going to have some kind of stir-up on this show anyway. My question to you would be, do you think this will be the culminating end event for Rusev and Bobby? Will that storyline be over after this?
Mark, I hope so. We haven't really talked about it a lot, obviously, because it's a Monday Night Raw show, and obviously we're doing the Saturday show, so you guys talk about it a lot through the week, but I have not really enjoyed that storyline. It just feels very Attitude Era-esque. It feels like I've seen it. Now, maybe this is just me as a 36-year-old wrestling fan. I'm not saying, you know, maybe a 20-year-old, they haven't seen a lot of these stories and a lot of these, these narratives and whatever the storyline you want to label it as, though. We've seen it a lot, and I'm just bottom line, I think everyone involved, from Lana to Rusev to Lashley, I think they can do something better, and I don't think it's taken with the fans. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, feel free to call in. Maybe I'm missing the mark with this. But for me, it just hasn't resonated. And again, I think they're better than this. So, Mark, I do hope with the umbrella that Starrcade offers, with the attention that it offers, the fact that it is a special, and the fact that I would imagine they're going to be main eventing, at least by looking at this lineup, I kind of do hope it is the end. I don't know. What do you think?
You know what? I'm not so biased about it. I did not like the making out. Yeah. You know, I'm like telling my kid, "Hey, cover your eyes. This is, you know, it's a little."
Well,
too
if you're
much.
Gonna do it, that's what you need, though. If you're gonna do it, right? You need to make it uncomfortable. You need to make it believable. You need to shove some tongues down some throats.
Oh, no, no, not on wrestling. Now, we talked about this yesterday. I would love for there to be wrestling after dark. And you can do, you and I will stay up to midnight to watch wrestling if it's going to be better, more risque outfits for the ladies and more adult conversation, a little bit more violence, if you will. In the wrestling, like I would stay up to watch that because there's a genre for a more aggressive style after dark, produced properly wrestling show. I think that could lead to some of those people working coming back on television to the mainstream shows. Now you look at AEW is already doing that. Like, they have an After Dark show. And you have Sonny Kiss on there and people that are more risque characters that are doing things that you can't always do on primetime television at 7 o'clock.
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's a move that the WWE should make here in the future.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Mark, I'm going to start my weekly winner, and I am really surprised I'm saying this because I haven't seen a truly good Monday Night Raw in a little bit. It's been a while, like where I felt like. And listen, I think Monday Night Raw has a little bit going against it in the sense that it's 3 hours. So and you talk about this, Mark, the exhale factor where you feel like you're going to have a potty break or whatever the case may be, right? You're going to have more of that with a 3-hour show. So I try to grade on a curve a little bit, but Mark, I don't even think I had to grade on a curve when you're talking about Monday Night Raw this week. You were talking about a show. I felt it did a really great job, storytelling. We had, obviously, the big moment, I think the moment of Monday Night Raw was Rey Mysterio winning the belt in that kind of double match fashion that he had, which I thought was outstanding. And then you had the main event with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, which I thought was spectacular. And then you also had the continuation. Now, this goes back a couple of years, but the continuation of the feud with Asuka and Charlotte Flair. And Mark, Asuka is, I know she's doing well with the Kabuki Warriors and she's tag champ. That's fine. Asuka truly is one of the best singles wrestlers out there. It was nice to be reminded of that. So I got to tell you, Mark, Thanksgiving week. And again, AEW and NXT had great shows. SmackDown had a fine show. For me, the weekly winner this week was Monday Night Raw, and deservedly so. But I am very curious to hear who your pick is this week.
Well, I it's been a while. Actually, since we started.
Yeah.
I've never had Raw first, SmackDown second, AEW third, and NXT has never been last.
No.
It was to flip the coin, I had to flip a coin basically and see who was going to be 4 and 5. And of course, Power came in last, but it was also a flip the coin with Power and Impact, because Impact did the spoof show,
which was great,
which was awesome.
Yes.
And it was hard for me. So you know what? I'm actually going to do something that I've never done with my weekly winner. Is I'm going to say Raw and SmackDown, a tie between NXT and AEW, and a tie between Power and Impact. There's two ties.
All right. Well, I will agree with you on this. I don't know where the dip happened, and it was a fine show by NXT, but I was surprised that NXT didn't follow up Survivor Series with a little bit more strength. Like, I get it. Like, the match with Lio Rush and Tozawa for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Awesome match.
Incredible. Incredible. It really was. And I'm trying to
Which
think
of
oh, the tag match.
Arguably the best match.
Yes, yes.
Of all shows this week.
Yep, I would give it. I would give it
that.
That
would be number one.
Yep, I would. I would agree.
It just the rest of the show didn't follow. The women on NXT, when Dakota Kai came down with the knee brace in her hand, I was like, man, this is crazy. And Rhea Ripley doing what she did with Ronda Rousey. With
Shayna Baszler.
With Shayna Baszler.
Right.
And when Rhea came down, all three women got out of the ring and gave her the ring. Like, the NXT had some points in it, and the finish was really strong with Adam Cole getting kicked in the mouth by Finn. But it's still, they didn't follow up with all of the stuff that happened, and that was why I kind of gave them a scratch, because they had three of the most powerful segments in pro wrestling this week, but it was disjointed somehow.
Yeah, and that's the odd thing, is that we're sitting here with a main event between Finn Balor and Tommaso Ciampa, and there was a lot of good other stuff in between, and we are kind of talking, there was a disjointed feel, Mark, and I got to be honest, I don't know where that feeling comes from. I just know that I felt it as a fan.
Yeah, I felt it as a fan too. And you know, if I was booking that show, there would have been at least one or two return matches from Survivor Series and from TakeOver, where I'm not finished. This is not over. It's not resolved. And you could have even had one of those matches where they shook hands and say, is it over? And you get an emotional draw. And that's the only thing we miss from those shows is the closeout. Is it over?
Well,
you know, there's too many things still left open.
It feels like we're building towards a potential triple threat showdown with Ciampa, Cole, and Balor. Does that feel that way to you?
That's exactly what it feels like. And yeah. I don't know if I want triple threats in four-way dances. Like, I believe that a championship should be one-on-one, and the number one contenderships should be the triple threats in the four-way dances.
Yeah, speaking of AEW, I got to admit, Mark Henry, I bought a little bit of the bubbly. I did.
Oh, you
I
got did. The bubbly.
I did get a little bit of the bubbly. I got it. First of all, I think the website crashed. There was a lot of people that were out there wanting the bubbly. I just want to give credit to AEW for what they're doing with their merchandise, Mark. The turnaround that they have, whether it's their shirts, whether it's things like a little bit of the bubbly, they are so quick on the draw with that stuff to turn around and to monetize it. I just, they know how to run a merchandise shop, because they, like I said, they're quick on the draw and they don't waste any time getting that stuff out there.
Well, there's no board of directors. They don't have to answer. They don't have to answer to nobody. If Cody says, hey, Bucks, Kenny, like, we need to jump on this, and then they call, the only call that they have to make is to Tony Khan. Tony, this is a business opportunity. It's going to make dollars. We need to get a liquor sponsor and make a bit of the bubbly. Boom. All right, let's get on it. Who's interested? And all you got to do is make phone calls to the major corporations that produce champagne and say, hey, if you make a little bit of the bubbly, we'll sell 100,000 units. And they'll go, really? Okay. We just put your label on our stuff. That's all you got to do. And they're making short phone calls. Hey, this needs to happen. Okay, let's do it. And there you go. So the marketing behind the merchandise, there's no red tape. There's no translation of, well, we got to contact this and see if we're able to do this and is it right? And no, if they feel like it's right, they do it.
Well, as we sit here talking about the show of the week, this will be your time coming up here shortly, Busted Open Nation, to chime in on what you thought was your show of the week. Who had the best show for Thanksgiving week here in the professional wrestling world? And maybe chime in on your thoughts. Are Mark and I overreacting to NXT? Did it feel disjointed to you? Because I think, you know, that is one of those different strokes for different folks, right? I think that's a subjective taste. Art is subjective, and maybe you didn't
see
it
the way
Mark and I
did. That's why we have polls, and that's why we ask people to call in, because we want the opinion of the people that listen to us.
That's right, Mark Henry. And speaking of, we were just talking about merchandising and the little bit of the bubbly and what AEW is doing. Mark, I said we didn't even talk about this in hour one as we were talking about SmackDown last night. Obviously, a lot going on with Daniel Bryan and The Fiend, but one of the things that we saw last night is it looks like the WWE is introducing a special championship for The Fiend, or I should say The Fiend is introducing a special championship for his championship run. We saw a view of it last night. There was just a flash of it. It does look like it's on the way. Mark, listen, let me ask you. I don't necessarily have a problem with it from the standpoint that, you know, Bray Wyatt is a force. The Fiend is a force. If anything is going to be warranted, or if any title would be warranted of a special gimmick, essentially, I think it could definitely be The Fiend. But, Mark, I do worry on some level, and we're probably past that point, and I'm probably like the old man screaming at the sun right now, right? I'm probably being a little ridiculous, but it's just more titles. It's just, it feels like a little bit of a cash grab to me, and maybe that's what it is. They just want to, you know, put out a new title on the shop, and they want to do, you know what I mean? I do worry when we have like the 24/7 title, we have the Universal title, and we have the WWE title, and we have the Intercontinental, and we have the obviously the US title. There's like 20 different championships in the WWE. I think we're past the point again of it clouding the waters. But again, maybe I'm just being an old guy. It wears a little thin on me that we're constantly introducing new titles. But if it is going to be one, I'll say it again. I'm glad it's The Fiend. And it did have a cool look. We got a note here from Andre, who said that a caller called in and said that the title is on sale. The new Fiend title is on sale at the WWE shop. I'm going to have to check on this. It's $6,500. What?
Apparently, that's what the caller is saying. I'm still digging around the shop trying to find it.
Okay, yeah, that is okay. That could be fake news.
You are screaming at the sun. You're the
old
man screaming
I
at the sun.
Like, yeah,
because what else is there?
Yeah.
You market a product in order to sell it.
Yep.
And it's a collector's. It's a way that you as a collector, if you have the means, then why not have an expensive bauble to remind you of what you like, and to be able to compare with your friends that do the same. You know, like we talked about the toys and hooking you up with Mark Conway so you can go on his show and talk toys.
Sure.
Like, if you collect the item, then this is the greatest opportunity. You got Bray Wyatt and The Fiend, who are one in a time in wrestling where you'll be able to say, I have one of those titles that they made so many of these, and I got one. What's wrong with that? And you start talking about a cash grab. I'm all for cash grab. You against a cash grab?
No, not really. I think I would say this. I would be, and again, this is old man screaming at the sun. I would be against the cash grab. Like, I am of the opinion, I do wish we operated in a WWE universe that just had the WWE Championship, the Intercontinental title, and maybe the U.S. title and the tag belts, right? I do feel like the more titles you introduce, you strip some of the shine and the meaning behind the title and the chase for the title. So I am definitely one of those guys. But again, Mark, this isn't that, right? This is just an extension of the...
No, this is a collector.
Right.
Of the individual. It's not a title that you're going to be able to vie for. Right. You're not going to be able to say... If you're the Miz, I want the Bray Wyatt Fiend title.
Right.
Stupid. It's not. That's not going to happen. He's holding the Universal Championship. Well, that's the important thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is just bells and whistles. This is to entertain the people and let them have a connection with the Fiend.
Yeah, and let's think about, Mark, and again, I was really just throwing that out there. It doesn't really bother me, and I'll even say this. I'll put it over in this regard. If you're thinking about customized titles, right, personalized titles and gimmick titles that we've seen in the past, obviously John Cena, the spinner-inspired title that we had for so long, the Stone Cold Steve Austin smoking belt, we had... HBK, I believe, had a customized belt, like a tiger stripe belt back in the 90s. My point being, like, if you're going to take a character of 2019 and make a special belt for them, I can't think of anyone better than the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Who else would you do that with?
Yeah, probably no one.
You do that with, I'm sure that there was a big dog belt. You know, like, I mean, it is what it is. This is his turn. It just so happens that this one looks different. And it's not the typical championship. You look at Daniel Bryan's title. How many of those titles that you saw that was made out of wood? They sold the hell out of them.
Yeah.
It's not a cash grab. It's a collector's item that you can be a part of that moment in wrestling. And even if you had a problem with it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We talked it out. And now you don't. That's what it's all about, guys. Communication.
That's right.
Communication rules the nation.
Growth. Exactly. Bonding. Experience. Busted Open Radio. That's what we do. All right, here we go. Courtesy of the WWE Shop. Hashtag let me in. A limited quantity. First run of the Fiend custom handcrafted titles by the Tom Savini Studios will be available for pre-order exclusively at WWE Shop tomorrow. I am thinking that is today. Man, that is pretty cool. Now that I'm looking at it, handcrafted title. I'm actually kind of scared looking at it.
The title's I don't want to look at it.
Yeah, the title's actually more scary than Bray is. I don't know if I even want that in my house. Scare the crap out of your kids. Put that in Jacob's room, man. Have him watching over him while he sleeps.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Mark, none of us think that this heel turn for Bayley is working out. We saw it last night, again, when you had two great heels perennially showing off against one another, with Sasha Banks and Lacey Evans. When you see it and they're in the pocket, you believe it. I'm still not there with Bayley yet. I don't know how I can get there. I will say this, Mark Henry. I think the best way to get Bayley into a full heel mode, if it is even possible, is turning on Sasha Banks. And I think potentially that's where we're heading because you saw it last night, right? Bayley didn't do anything when Sasha got hit. That, to me, feels like something Sasha might have some feelings about.
Yeah, she's going to definitely be like, look, why you ain't do nothing?
Right.
I mean, you just let her hit me, and then while I was down, you didn't do nothing back? Like, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a little dissension. And I don't think it will babyface Sasha, but I think it'll be one of those cases where Bayley realizes that she's living out Sasha's idea of who she should be. And when you don't have somebody else looming over you, trying to, and you know, we just talked about it. There are people that can actually coerce you into doing what they want you to do rather than what you want to do.
Right.
And I think maybe we'll get a babyface Bailey back, you know, out of that saga.
That was going to be my next question. How much legs do you give Bailey? Like, how much room do you give her to try to usher in this new character before you do pull the plug? I'm very curious as someone who's obviously has a lot of experience with this. I do wonder what the leash is.
You know what? I don't think that it's going the way that I thought. It's definitely not going the way that I thought. And I'm sure mm-hmm. that the company is like, she's not healing them in like I thought she would. So let's put her with people that we're going to try to turn. Or let's put her with people that we want to big them up. We want to make them look good. And she's one that, like even last night with Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans has been a heel. And the crowd was cheering for her like she was the biggest babyface. Because she was in the ring with somebody that the people want to see get a whooping, one. But they also see that she's a better, that she's actually becoming, I can't even put it into, she's in that in-between point, Lacey Evans is. This interaction with Bailey will completely make her go to the plus, to the good, and to the babyface, fan favorite, however you want to phrase it. This is the point where we can have a babyface Lacey Evans, which, excuse me, she's getting hard to hate. If you listen to her story and you watch the interaction with her and the fans now, it's becoming comical. It's becoming entertaining and fun. How can you put somebody like that, keep putting that person in there as a heel? Or putting them against the good guy. Like, she is the good guy. So I'm hoping that's what goes on. And she'll be the catalyst to start the shit between Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah. Yeah, and you talk about Lacey. I mean, Lacey can always operate as a tweener in that regard. Like, she can be a good guy. She can be a baby face, but she can still keep that edge. And you talk about the shift with the fans with Lacey Evans, Mark. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed. Yes, I think her story is more well-known, but I think you look at the work that she did with that cop on social media. I mean, if you're a pro wrestling fan and you get and you see what she did and set that up and swerved the public the way she did, I mean, even the most hardcore of Marks have to look at that and give her a huge tip of the cap because that was well done. And then on the flip side of that, to the non-hardcore Marks and to people, and them included, but just everyone, you look at Saudi Arabia. Like, I can't not think that that moment with Natty played into the way the crowd's feeling right now a couple weeks later.
Most definitely. I mean, you go out and you do something that nobody's ever done before and you get the right reaction and they see the emotion in her face. We never saw that. That's something that we never saw. We never saw tears. Right. We never saw her humbled and respectfully loving the situation that she was in. So what if she's in a situation where she's the babyface and she needs to show that emotion? She can do it. We know she can do it because we've seen it before, right? So now the sagas that she's going to have with Sasha Banks is going to be good, man, because I don't know if you remember a year ago when she was really green and she had first came in against Sasha in the Battle Royal, it didn't look good. But now, last night, she was comfortable.
Right.
She stood there with a dominating presence, a whole level of comfortability. She stumbled on her words a little bit, but that happens. But the emotion and her placement was perfect. That women's right that she threw too was perfect.
Oh, man, it was. And I mean, you know what?
If you can throw a better punch than that, I want to see it.
Yeah, it was perfect. And you talked about her stumbling on her words. You're right, she did. But her composure after stumbling in her words, she took a long pause. Yep. She let it marinate. I thought Sasha did a good job reacting to it to kind of like give her a little bit of a cover. That's a sign of a veteran move. And she's only been here a couple years on the main roster. And you're right. When you talk about look at last year and you look at, you know, some of the navigations of the water she had to navigate and you look at the improvement that she's made in just a year. Yeah, man, I'm with you. You look at the future for her and you talk about it being bright. I agree. I look at her and Alexa Bliss. And the thing Alexa probably has going against her a little bit is size. Lacey is like Alexa for me with size. And again, that's not. I'm not saying Alexa can't. Alexa has overcome that. Alexa is a, you know, a rocket ship, like 100%. But you get what I'm saying? They're kind of cut from the same cloth in that regard.
Well, I mean, they're definitely cut from the same cloth as far as how people emotionally react to them.
Yeah.
But that's like saying that's like comparing Rey Mysterio to Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, yeah, he's bigger. But just because he's bigger, it don't make him better.
Right.
They all can do the same things. He just had a match with the biggest guy in the company. A guy that's one of the most decorated. One of the guys that's the most intimidating. Did he look like he was out of place? No. He's Rey Mysterio. It's the same thing with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
She never looks like she's out of place because of her presence. And because of her abilities, which we're going to have to tone down the abilities because she does a lot of high risk and different things that even Rey Mysterio has slowed it down with what he does off the top. And Bliss is going to have to do the same.
So we were talking about Lacey Evans converting fans. Well, Mark, it sounds like we might be doing some converting here on Busted Open Radio. We got a caller. We got Mickey in St. Louis who, you know what, Mark? Our talk on music might have changed this guy's life. Mickey, what's up, dude? Welcome into Busted Open.
Hey, thank you very much. And I must confess, I listened to Busted Open Monday through Friday. And when they first said that there was going to be the Saturday show, I was good with it. But I was doubtful and a little bit skeptic. And then I listened. I gave you guys a listen because I love you, Mark. I love the fact that you break it down from a humanistic element. And, you know, and you make things personal. I mean, not you personal, but personal like the universe personal. And
Thank
I really
you.
Respect the way you say that. I mean, and your passion. I really respect that. But then you guys start talking hip hop, and I'm like, and when you guys played, you guys
Big Pun,
Big Pun, I was shopping, and when the show was over, I had to go to my music and replay it 5 times in a row because I forgot how good it was. And I got a question, and then I got to give a little quick shout out. I'm 57 years old. I've been a wrestling fan forever. I became in love with wrestling with my grandmother, Vivian Spiller Robinson, in Edwardsville, Illinois. She used to watch wrestling at the Chase Saturday and Sunday, and Sunday was a replay of Saturday. And my grandfather was an usher in the church. They lived 3 doors down from the church, and my grandmother did not go to church because it messed up with the wrestling.
That's awesome.
I used to love to spend the night there because Grandma, we would watch wrestling at the Chase, which ended at midnight, go to bed, and then wake up again at 10 a.m. She'd make breakfast, and we'd watch the same thing again. But 2 things real quick. AEW and NXT were flat, and I think AEW was flat, I think, because of the Chicago factor. I mean, when you have that many live shows in Chicago, even though they're different venues, it just kind of, you know, and I root for the underdog because I was WCW all my life. During the wars, I was WCW. NXT, I thought, was flat, and I'll say one word, Mauro. I just, he wasn't there.
Mamma mia!
Yes, And as soon as here's what I did. I turned it on, and when I heard Tom Phillips, no disrespect to Tom Phillips,
right.
I turned it off and watched AEW because it was not Mauro. And that's just my opinion to it. Now, the last thing, I'll let you guys do this off the air, but you converted me. I listen every Saturday. If I don't listen to it live, I find the replay, and I listen to it there. But you guys are talking hip-hop, and my favorite, and I argue with my sons all the time about this, four sons aged 30 to 22. My favorite rapper of all time is Nas, and I will put up Nas up against anybody. But
yeah.
I want you guys, if you have time, if you had to make a Mount Rushmore of hip-hop, who would you put on your Mount Rushmore? And I know there's usually four, but I will allow you to put a fifth one on there.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear what you guys come up with. Love the
All
show.
Right.
I will be listening next Saturday.
All right, Mickey. Well, damn, he's putting the pressure on us.
Do we have a week? Do we have a week to do this for next week, or do we have to do this now?
I think we dropped him. We dropped Mickey.
Oh,
I think
man.
We got a week, right? We got
all right,
a week.
Yeah, you know what? For a nuanced discussion like that, Mark, we could do it off the top. We could definitely come back and give us our top five. But let's put a pause
on that. Let's tease
that
and do it next week.
I agree.
Because I want to be able – I want to go back and listen to about four guys or five guys that's in my mind right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to put Jay-Z, you have to put LL Cool J in the conversations just because of their catalogs. Like, they're so vast and so long running. You look at from where they started in 86, 87 mm-hmm. to even now. And you look at, you know, even Nas, like he mentioned Nas. Nas did a song called One Mic.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to that song, and this is probably 2011, maybe 2012. Came out with One Mic. I can't remember exactly.
No, it was a little before that, but it was like 2004 or 2005. But it was definitely the advanced version of Nas.
Nas had changed,
yeah,
but he still kept his lyrical style, and there are some people that evolved, and Nas is one of them. But the constant with Nas is he always talked about making a connection with the person that's listening through his experience. And that's what I tell my son today. I don't get that. I don't get a connection with none of these guys. I mean, okay, well, there's a couple of guys that are out there, but you can't call him underground. Royce the 5'9" is not an underground rapper. He's like, everybody knows Royce.
Absolutely.
They knows Eminem. People know Eminem, even though Eminem, the crew of guys that he run with are all underground rappers. Like, why would he hang out with Jay-Z and people that are at the forefront of hip hop? He's definitely not going to hang out with all these marks that doing this mumble rap. This shit is garbage.
Right. No, you're absolutely
like,
correct.
They're not his intellectual equal.
Right.
So, but I definitely reserve the top three spots. I always got to have Biggie on the Mount Rushmore. And I always have to have Tupac on the Mount Rushmore.
And well, Mark,
Eminem has jumped a lot of guys because of what he brought to the table, and it's not just his intellect and his vocabulary, but I watched a video, a cipher of Eminem do 500 words in like 2 minutes, bro. That's talent. Like, it's unrivaled.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.